Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Eric Bickle. That is the foursome. We are basking in a Victory Monday here on The Fan, presented by Chenigo Mios, a 2024 top workplace. You can visit careers@mios.com. And at 3-1, having won three in a row, scoring over 38 points in consecutive weeks for the first time since 1991.
Well, they scored 38, not over 38.
Okay, over 37.
There you go.
38 or more.
There you go.
A lot of points.
80 points in the last 2 weeks.
I love first time so since much. 1991, which was a pretty good year.
I love not watching Ron Rivera-led Commanders football.
How awesome
it's actually
it?
Exciting
How
and
awesome
fun
was
to watch.
It to see Dan Quinn just fired up after a defensive stop.
Yeah, and he gets excited.
And the guys are coming off the field, and he's going, great effing jobs, you know, high-five. And I never saw that from Ron.
Ron is just
maybe early, but
I think you saw some of it. But they lost a lot of games.
Didn't see a lot of it.
Ron on the sidelines was borderline catatonic.
Yeah.
Like you could barely tell he was alive.
Mm-hmm.
Arms folded, stoic.
He was so
very
bad.
Little emotion.
He was so checked out.
Nice man. Bad coach.
Ron,
even worse personnel guy.
I'm sorry. Ron talk needs to be banned. New era.
I'm
past it.
And I know, but we're scarred.
I'm kind of the same way with RG3 talk. Like RG3,
he's irrelevant.
That's a dozen years ago.
Yeah.
Like 10 quarterbacks.
Ron's irrelevant. RG3's irrelevant.
Yeah.
New era.
All about Jaden.
Jaden time.
Jaden, all Jaden all the time.
With Jaden Daniels playing as he has played, with the team at 3-1, with all the points that goes back to 1991, the last time they've scored this many points in back to back weeks, are they a legit playoff team? Are they the division favorite?
Well, they're definitely a legit playoff team now.
They're kind of
division
favorite. Right now.
I think they're probably maybe they're still slightly behind Dallas or Philly. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the odds.
We haven't seen them head to head yet.
Yeah, I want to see how they fare against.
But
those
when
teams.
You're 3-1, yeah, you're definitely a playoff, contender, 100%.
Dallas looks like a mess. I know they got a win against the Giants, but they were fortunate there.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eagles. They just haven't been right. Like, there was talk last year, after going to after being so good Sirianni's first year, there was talk last year that Sirianni could get canned.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly there's some sort of rift between him and Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's true or not. But Hurts last year threw a bunch of interceptions. Now, like I said, he had 38 total touchdowns because of the tush push, whatever. But he seems to be still throwing interceptions, fumbling the ball. There's a turnover problem there. And they've got a bunch of injuries.
Getting back to the Cowboys before we go to the calls, have you looked at their schedule over the next month?
Mm-mm. It ain't easy.
3-4 on the road, at the Steelers, home to the Lions, at the Niners, at the Falcons.
Yeah.
And what about our schedule?
I mean,
much easier.
All I know is home to the Browns is next. I know they're playing the Panthers in that stretch.
The Bears, the Ravens, the Giants. Really, the only one where we're decided underdogs, I think, is the Ravens game.
With a game lead, yeah. I mean, the division just isn't as daunting as it usually is, and you just pointed out why.
The Commanders have are tied with the Cowboys for the second best odds to win the division at plus 240. The Eagles are plus 110.
Schedule right, is so important.
And Scott Abraham pointed this out yesterday. I didn't realize this. Over the next month, they don't leave the state of Maryland to play a game because their only road game is at Baltimore.
Mm.
No travel over the next month. That's good.
Didn't hurt them in Arizona.
They couldn't roll out a better start than what they have
it's
right
pretty
now.
Pretty good looking start.
The Commanders right now to make the playoffs, yes, is plus 115. No, minus 140.
Minus 140?
So they're still favored to not make the playoffs.
Slightly favored to not make
slightly
the playoffs.
Though.
That's crazy.
It's basically a coin flip.
I mean, I get it, but it seems...
People still expect Philly to win the division. Remember, probably changed this week, but last week we did a similar poll, and Philly garnered about 65% of the votes.
We have to. Listen, I don't care what happens. We have to beat the Bears. We got it. We got to.
Gotta, gotta beat Caleb.
Well, you gotta
beat Caleb Williams.
We gotta beat Caleb. I cannot lose to Caleb.
I will say what the Commanders have that Philly doesn't have: health.
Yeah.
So far, health.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's critical. Can you really back a Philly team that's just so banged up and their weapons are neutralized because of injury?
Yeah. It is a Jahan Dawson revenge game.
They should be back to 100% pretty close after their bye week. That should help them. Who are they playing out of that bye?
They get the Browns at home.
Oh, there you go.
Then back-to-back on the road at the Giants, at the Bengals, and then they've got a soft landing spot first week in November, home to the Jags.
Yeah, so they should be fine, just assuming those receivers are back.
I would love to know what Quinn sees in the film when he said to the guys, hey, we've been unacceptable the first few weeks on defense,
mm-hmm.
but you're not as far off as you think.
I mean,
what is he seeing?
When I heard,
I
was thinking.
No,
no, I was thinking of just some of those St. Juice plays.
He might just be.
Like, St. Juice gave up a couple of touchdowns where he's right there.
He's probably just being positive, too.
Yeah, that could be.
He must be seeing something.
Keeping the troops motivated.
I mean, like, the coverage isn't. At times it's been bad, but at times it's.
I agree with
that. It's like the guy's right there, but just a better throw.
And I also think we were right there on Baker. I said it right after the game. Four or five times, normally Baker would have been sacked. But he wiggled his way out of there.
Give him credit. I mean, he was adept at finding his way out of pressure in week one.
We didn't think that the defense would be this bad. We thought it'd be better.
Marginally
better.
Always think they're going to be better.
Yeah.
And they
so that kind of surprised us the first 3 weeks.
Yesterday, I was stunned by the defensive performance.
The way the offense is playing, if the defense can just be 20th ranked in the NFL, you're a playoff
team. If you could force three punts, you can almost count on a dub.
I was stunned by the defense because the first drive, it looked like everything we'd seen leading up. And I was like, oh, well, here
we're going to horror show.
Now we're in for 30-plus. Like, it's going to be another shootout.
My leg of the parlay hit.
A blowout.
I couldn't believe
my leg of the parlay hit because I said, just take the top receiver against
Washington's
defense.
Plan.
And it happened, boom, in a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe some of the sacks Kyler was taking. I couldn't believe he didn't take off and run more. I was just stunned by it.
Well, Sutter said that he not even
like
throwing to open receivers.
Yeah.
He looked terrible.
He looked terrible. Yeah. I'm telling you, I think
after the first drive,
Cliff
he looked
dialed
terrible.
Up some schemes
he did,
and he talked to
seeing
defense.
Some ghosts.
He was also he's missing a safety blanket in Trey McBride. He loves throwing the ball to him in the short and intermediate. He missed. No, that's not an excuse for not like.
Well, they should have another guy that can do the same.
Well, he also has to know. Like, he's been in the league long enough. He can't sit back there and pat the ball and wait for the pass rush to just.
I couldn't believe some of the sacks we were getting.
He's not
that
good. He's okay.
He's
been a disappointment.
I'd say he's better than okay, but he's not. I wouldn't put
him
in top tier.
Is what he is.
No, yeah, he's not even close to top tier.
If you ranked all the quarterbacks, he's like 15.
He's middle of the pack.
Okay. Let's go to Adonis. What a name, Cakes.
Man,
Adonis.
You better be handsome if your name's Adonis. You can't be fugly.
Yeah, you're not a big pig, are you, Adonis?
Good morning, junkies. First off, happy Victory Monday. I am
that means
young.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're kind of gross, right?
Under our belts, okay? I've been a fan of Washington since I was 4 years old, when Sean Taylor was around, when he first came to D.C., rest in peace to him. Now I'm 24 years old now. God, that makes me sound old. And I have not been this excited to be a Washington fan in, like, ever, basically. I can think back to just RG3, but you know what? Move over RG3 because Jaden is taking over, okay? I mean, let's talk about him for a second. Like, not only is he leading the league in completion percentage, he has the highest completion percentage through the first four games.
Me.
Even higher than Geno Smith and Tom Brady, okay? Mm-hmm. Now that we're 3-1 and with our schedule that's coming up, I do believe we have a playoff chance. I do believe that we are a contender for the division easily.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Adonis.
Thank you, dreamy, handsome Adonis.
There's no chance.
That wouldn't answer our question.
I mean, there's a 0% chance he's dreamy or handsome.
The guy was on a mission.
Yeah, he was.
24, though. That's the exact same age as Kelsey, who texted me during the game. Can't believe what I'm watching. Hasn't been this fun watching a game in years.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden's so smooth and effortless. Shocked by the defense. 24-year-olds haven't had a lot.
Why didn't she fly out to State Farm Stadium? She's like an hour plane flight away. She could have gone and seen it in person.
Mm.
Hung out with all the Combs fans out there in Arizona.
That's the only time we go out west, right? I think that's it. Yeah.
I think that's their furthest trip of the year.
We don't play Seattle or anything. Let's go to Tyler in Ashton. Tyler, what's up?
Hey, fellas. So, first-time caller, want to give a shout-out to my father-in-law, Ron, who's definitely listening right now. I tailed your parlay over the weekend, by the way, and I made $1,500 off a couple other bets. So, thank you guys for the touchdown parlay. I had a Terry anytime at halftime, and then I took Terry for the sixth touchdown just because I had a couple bucks to play with, and that's all because of you guys. So keep throwing those anytime touchdown parlays
out. We didn't hit the parlay.
Glad you hit, sir.
We hit legs of the parlay.
It's okay.
I think we have four out of five.
Please don't attack our producers because they took a plus 300 play. It's okay. It's all good. Parlays are hard to hit.
We don't care.
It's all good.
Do your own plays.
Yeah.
Don't.
I don't care who picks what. It means nothing to me. I don't think about it. It doesn't matter. If we win, I'm sorry.
I just felt bad the guys are attacking Drab and Valdez.
I never
for the
feel bad.
Pick.
They attack me more. I never feel bad.
Don't
you get
feel bad for us. We're fine.
Yeah.
Those guys are idiots for tailing us and then trying to blame us.
Let's go to Mo.
Well, he said he won, though.
Yeah, somehow he won. So he picked the right ones.
Yeah, maybe he held that one out.
Right ones, yeah.
Yeah, maybe just said, looked at 2-2 Atwell, said, I'm not putting that in the mix. I'm going to go with the others. We'll see.
Mo, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to believe we absolutely are a contender. And if you look at what we're successful at, it travels. I mean, we play physical football. We're winning in the trenches. We establish the run. And then play action's going over the top with a mobile, accurate quarterback. Absolutely, we're a contender. We have the highest level of quarterback play within the division. And I believe the defense is starting to figure it out. I mean, I'm not sold on them yet, but they're starting to mesh. And if you look at the tests that they've been given over the first couple weeks. I mean, these are legitimate quarterbacks that they're going up against. Granted, Daniel Jones, he's suspect, but he's mobile, and he had a legitimate weapon who proved to be a weapon, and I think they're starting to figure it out. But moving forward, I absolutely like our chances, man. And keep in mind, we're starting to become a destination. So with regards to, you know, acquisitions from free agents and so forth,
yep.
People are going to want to come here. Thanks, gentlemen.
Yeah, Brian, right, following up on that, the Commanders have hit on the rarest thing in all the NFL, a guy on a rookie deal, a quarterback on a rookie deal making little money relatively, where now they can spend a bunch of money on the rest of the roster to upgrade around him.
Yep. Well,
they found their unicorn.
They've also just like hit on some of these like free agents, you know, like the kicker find.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brilliant. Bringing Noah Brown in, brilliant. Bringing Oz in has been helpful.
Yep. The depth is better. The depth when the starters go down, when Eckler goes down, McNichols, you're in, your next man up, produces.
They've patched together an offensive line that's shocked people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting coached up, though.
Right.
They're getting coached up.
The coaching can't be overstated.
It can't
be. The coaching is so much better.
It's been huge, especially on the offensive side.
Yeah.
Coaching matters, but the quarterback matters the most.
It definitely matters. It's unreal. But it
goes hand in hand with a coordinator that knows your strengths and can put you out there and get positive plays. I mean, that's huge. If Eric Bieniemy is here, he ain't as good.
No.
I'm sorry. He's just not.
Well, he's currently ruining UCLA right now.
Well, they got a lot of issues. But yeah.
By the way, this is a side note. Can you imagine Jaden Daniels' agent with all the endorsement deals?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, hold on. I got to put you on hold. Oh, there's another call. Another corporate titan wants Jaden to endorse a product. Oh, I got to put you on hold. I got another call. I mean, the world is that kid's oyster. Good for him.
Coming up next, we will talk to ESPN.com insider John Keim here on the Junkies.
We should be joined shortly by John Keim, who covers the Commanders for ESPN.com on a Victory Monday here on 106.7 The Fan. Bask in the afterglow of the Commanders' dominating performance in the desert. They just throttled the Cardinals. I mean, after that first drive, they clamped down on defense, and it was the Jaden Daniels show again. Just showing you why he was picked. Showing you why he should have gone number one overall. But again, lucky. And thanks again to Ryan Poles for letting the Commanders select Jaden at number two in the draft.
Yeah.
Thank you again. We can't thank you enough.
They're 2-2, and Caleb is playing a little bit better, but Jaden is playing as well as anybody in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned before whether he's a legit MVP candidate. I don't think he's at the top of the list, but if they keep playing like they're playing, he's going to be there. He doesn't have the touchdown total in terms of passing.
Yep.
He only has three touchdown passes, but he's got four runs for touchdowns, so seven total. I mean, it's been remarkable. Whatever you expected out of Jaden, he's exceeded it.
Been a remarkable start.
Yeah. I expected a lot, too.
Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of hard to
imagine.
But
it's been bad. Dude, the guy's barely had incompletions.
Yeah, it's been remarkable.
All right, joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline is insider for ESPN.com, covers the Commanders, our pal John Keim. Hey, John.
Hold on, give me a second here. There he is. Hey, John.
There we go. How are you guys?
Hey,
so I guess
great.
We should start with Jaden. It's become an old hat. Like, as good as he was on Monday night, he was equally as good this game.
Yeah, and it's funny because I heard, you know, what you were just saying, the expectations. There really hasn't been a moment since he's been here where I thought, oh, I wonder if this guy's going to get it, right? So you knew, like, there was a lot to build on. And you knew, I figured or anticipated that he'd be pretty good. The question was when.
Yeah.
And, you know, and could you do it this soon? That's a lot to ask of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And in a new, you know, new offense and et cetera. And so that's the part that's somewhat surprising. Although you talk to people there, like, are you surprised? A lot of times they'll say no. But I tend to agree. Like, I'm not surprised he's having success at all, but 85% completion in back-to-back games. I mean, come on. But there's just a lot of special throws that he made yesterday that weren't even, like, they're not the bombs of Terry McLaurin, all that. It's a 3rd and 4 to Zacchaeus on the second scoring drive that is just precise accuracy. And it's on the proper shoulder. It's on his left shoulder, so he can turn into the first down. If he doesn't hit it on the left shoulder, he does not pick up the first down. There's no points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the 3rd and 2, he's under pressure and backpedaling and a flick of the wrist to McLaurin on a slant. I mean, like, those are, like, just, there's just a number of plays or throws that he makes you just like, wow. And they're not even these big-time gains. They're just really good plays. But those basic little plays add up, and it adds up to what we're seeing.
Hey, John, I was really struck by your video you posted on Twitter, @John_Keim, of Mitch Rales and Mark Ein, the minority owners, congratulating Jaden Daniels on his way into the locker room. And it really encapsulates just the new aura of positivity around the ownership for the team. Like, this, you wouldn't have seen that sort of scene with Daniel Snyder as the owner. With Harris and this group, it's just a marked difference and improvement all the way around.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the last time I remember that I had a video of Snyder after a game was he and Bruce Allen passing in the night in in Dallas.
I remember that.
And I still have that video because it's kind of funny. yes, it's very different. I mean, the aura has been different for more than a year now because of that. But it's really transformed this season with Dan Quinn coming on board and just the way he approaches things. And then getting guys like Jaden Daniels here and the vets they brought in. So the whole aura is, but yeah, I mean, watching that, I mean, those guys are just excited fans who happen to be part owners of the team, you know, and there's not, you know, Josh Harris is in the locker room doing that. He comes out, he looks like he's gone through a, you know, 15 round fight, just the exhaustion and the sheer joy of winning a fight. You know what I mean? Like, it is very different. I mean, it's different in so many ways. But I think it starts with, I think what we're seeing is the impact of what an owner can have. And when you surround yourself with like-minded people or people that you want to work with, and then you let them go, right? And instead of trying to rule with fear and intimidation and thinking you know more than you do.
So we kind of talked about the offensive line, JK, and how much better that they're playing. I mean, I'm surprised that Jaden's only been sacked 9 times in 4 games. Now, 5 of those were in 1 game against the Giants. The Giants just, they dialed it up, and their game plan was obviously on point to get after him. But the fact that he wasn't sacked at all yesterday, he's only sacked 2 in the Monday night game against the Bengals. The play calling has a lot to do with it because of those play action rollouts and getting him outside the pocket, outside the tackles. And, you know, it's just tough to get to him. But But especially with the run blocking, man, the offensive line has played a lot better than I expected.
Well, they have. And, you know, it's funny because I talked about this even in the summertime. Like, they weren't as worried about the line as, like, the outside world was.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And so, like, I kind of stress that because I know it's easy to kind of look and see the names of the individuals, but it's really, it came, like, the, to me, it was always more, less of a concern and more of a question. And that, not that there was, not that you, you know, you wondered, right? But the wonder that I kept going back to is what's going to be the impact of quarterback play and play calling slash scheme. And I think we're seeing that. And when you're not asking a quarterback who's new to drop back 70% of the time, it kind of works out better, doesn't it? Mm. And I think that's what we're seeing. And plus, you know, Jaden Daniels can, you know, we saw this in the summer too, some of the decisions he makes or the quickness of his throws offsets some of that pressure, right? There have been times where you might see some pressure, but he's getting rid of the ball, mm-hmm. you know, or he's able to squeeze through a little bit. So that helps too, but that's how it works. Like, you know, I mean, it's hard to be a shutdown offensive line. It just, you know, I know it's, I mean, the Hogs were here, but that was what, 30 some years ago, right? Like, you don't see lines like that and groups like that very often. So, which is why two of them should be in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, like, so I think there's just a combination of things that are really working for them. The interior is really good. You know, Cornelius Lucas has been his strength is pass protecting, and Brandon Coleman's coming along, and Wiley does a good job in the run game and blocking on the move. You saw it on the Daniels touchdown run around the end where he and Tyler Biadasz are out there blocking. So, yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of things that go right, but again, I think, you know, cohesiveness, the play calling scheme, quarterback play, all impacts it, and we saw that last year and we're seeing it now.
I think along those same lines, they obviously were more comfortable with their receivers than we as the fans were, and maybe as right. the outside media. They did bring in Noah Brown, who I think has been huge to add him. His size, he has an element that these other guys don't have. But guys like Oz performing, McCaffrey, you know, coming in as a rookie and only playing the position for a couple years and being a huge part of this, that's clearly a position that they felt more comfortable than we did.
Oh, for sure. And again, same thing that I would say. And Dan Quinn talk a lot about basically a bullpen by committee, right? You know, mm-hmm. the number two receiver by committee. And I think what they've done a good job, like Zacchaeus played 5 snaps in the Bengals game, I think it was. No targets, no obviously no catches. And after the game, like the next day, Quinn is praising him because of how he basically handled it when others were having success in that game. Mm-hmm. And then this week, you see that, okay, this week it's a big week for him. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some creativity with it, too. He had that 27-yard catch. He lines up in the backfield. So they the motion of the play, the action of the play is going to the left, play action, blocking, taking the eyes are going that way. Then the eyes shift from Brian Robinson to Daniels. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus is floating out to the right, and he's wide open because nobody's looking at him. So that's a creative aspect, but how you use your guys. And even in the Giants game, Zacchaeus had on the play where Daniels bobbles the snap, that's a 20-yard gain around the end in the getting deep in the red zone, you know, at least, maybe a touchdown. So, like, there's a usage of, you know, and obviously it didn't work, but the point is, like, it was, everything was perfect except handling the snap. Mm-hmm. But it's how you use your guys, too. And, you know, Noah Brown is a bigger physical guy, and one of Zacchaeus' catches, they line up in the stack, and he basically runs the two corners into each other, and that frees Zacchaeus. So there's a scheme, and then these guys are executing it. And, you know, and sometimes, I mean, well, you know, you'd love to have that other strong number two guy, but if you know how to use guys, then it can help. And they are so far.
John, what a fill-in performance by Jeremy McNichols for Austin Eckler out with the concussion. 8 carries, 68 yards, finds the end zone twice, catches his only target as well. Do you see him having a role like that this upcoming week against Cleveland? What's the latest on Eckler and his return? Now the coaching staff's like, hey, Eckler's out. McNichols steps up. They don't have to rush Eckler back at this point if he's not 100% ready. Really good performance by McNichols yesterday.
Very good. And, you know, listen, it goes back to last week, too, where he has the block on the, you know, the touchdown to McLaurin, right? I mean, that was a tremendous block. And he actually had another good block yesterday as well. So in one of Daniels' runs around the end in the red zone for like 6 yards. So he's doing a lot for them. We, you know, the run game, very creative. And I think you can see if you have a run with a certain style, they can free up some runs for you. So, yes, I don't. The latest on Eckler, he's, you know, there's nothing new there. We'll talk to Dan Quinn later today. Usually with those things, you know how it works. Like, you got to get out of the protocol, and we don't know yet what his status will be for Sunday. But, yes, McNichols does give you that luxury now, knowing that, hey, he can step in and do a lot of what Eckler did. Now, Eckler also returns kickoffs, so,
yeah,
you know, putting a couple guys, different guys back there, but from scrimmage, he did a good job. And again, I stress the blocking because that's key. And, and you see that all over the place with these guys. I think a frustration the last few years would be like, you didn't get enough of the blocking from the skill guys and some of the receivers. And I think it's been better this year. And I go back to Zacchaeus on that too. He's had a couple of nice blocks this year. So, but it, Noah Brown does it. McLaurin's been better with that. So I think it's just all those things have been better. But yeah, I'm sorry. You're talking about McNichols, and he's done a good job.
John, you know, I've been thrilled so far, but I've been, you know, just so frustrated with the defense. They forced a bunch of punts yesterday. I was shocked. I was kind of shocked at how mediocre Kyler was. I'm convinced Cliff gave him some secrets there, but who knows? They still gave up like 5.7 yards per carry, whatever, like 180 yards on the ground. That's still an issue. I'm still far from a believer with this defense.
Yeah, but listen, you know, one game doesn't cure everything, but at least it's, you know, what you, if you're a fan, you have to hope is that pointing in the right direction now. And because the coverage was better. And, you know, Marvin Harrison did not do very much after that first quarter at all. I think he had, what, like one catch after that. So that's where you can start, and the pressure they put on was better. And it was, listen, this is the ideal situation where a pass rusher get a big lead and then just they're going to pin your ears back. And that's what they did. I felt like Dorrance Armstrong had a strong game from the beginning. And, you know, that makes a difference. But, yeah, I mean, you want to see it in multiple, just like the offense. If they had had one game and they've been bad and they have one game, you're like, was it the start of something or is it a one-game blip? Dan Quinn talked about, too, after the game, he's talking about how he was telling the coaches, the defense coaches, they're closer than you think to being better. And so when you're new like that too, there are a lot of new parts. I mean, a lot of that defense is new and you have a new coordinator. It does take time and you don't have Jaden Daniels on that side of the ball, right? You don't have the young or, you know, the Micah Parsons to really go in there and kind of maybe compensate for whatever sins you may have. So I think they have to play collectively as a group because of that. And I think that does take time to do. So is this the start? But, yeah, I will agree with you. The run game has to stiffen up because you're going to have some – I mean, that's where teams are going to test you. So, you know, but that will have to get better. And I haven't been able to rewatch it yet, obviously, but that's what I want to look at today. Where were they better and what are some of the issues that still exist in the run game?
Right.
All right, John, we'll talk to you soon. It's John Keim, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Of course, John joins us on a Victory Monday on The Fan, presented by Chenega Miles, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. Coming up next, we'll dive into some college football, including the incredible finish in the Virginia Tech-Miami game.
What an incredible.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. So, Friday night, the Hokies were in Miami to take on the Hurricanes, who were ranked in the top 10 and a heavy, heavy favorite.
18-point favorites, I believe, at kick.
And I was at a high school football game, Friday Night Lights, but at some point I checked my phone. I was like, whoa, Virginia Tech is up. Like, what's going on? And then I sent a text to my brother who went to the U. All he cares about is Hurricanes football. And I was like, your boys look like they're in trouble. And they were in trouble big time. And then they got a gift on the Hail Mary. I don't know how you call it. They called it a touchdown on the field, and then they went to replay, and then they said that he landed on the guy who was out of bounds.
Correct.
Which maybe is technically correct.
It's what the ACC claims. Look, that's just an awful break. In my opinion, it shouldn't have come down to that. There were some questionable calls. First of all, the officiating was horrible in general. They called Virginia Tech for a holding call that erased a 75-yard touchdown run, which could have been the difference in the game. It was an awful call. But, yeah, I mean, that was just a horrible way to end, especially when the call on the field is a touchdown. Mm-hmm. It's really tough to reverse that based on the footage that they had.
Right. Was there indisputable evidence? You can argue there wasn't.
And then the conspiracy
theories.
Well,
when it takes that long?
Yeah, it took forever. The conspiracy theorists are out there that the ACC wants to get two into the playoffs, so Miami needs to win and all that jazz. But, look, the Hokies were up 10. They had just picked up Cam Ward. They ran it back 77 yards. They're inside the 20. Brent Pry decides to go for a fake field goal instead of kicking it to go up 13, kind of late in the third, which it's a low percentage play. You know, I mean, if you're going to go for it, have your starting quarterback and your stud receivers and your Antutin out there.
So I watched the ending of the game.
That was a play that, if you think about it, if they kick the field goal there and they go up 13, that last drive with Drones, he doesn't have to throw a Hail Mary. They're just kind of driving to, and they got one of the best kickers in the country. They're driving to get into field goal territory and possibly kick a game winner.
Everything you say is correct, but I'll say this. Ward made an incredible play on their last touchdown drive. Where
Which
he could
one?
Have been sacked twice.
Yeah, it was bad tackle.
And then he got rid of the ball, almost mm-hmm. like a shovel pass, but he literally ducked underneath one guy, then has a guy all over him,
mm-hmm.
and makes a throw, which that gain put them all the way down, like, first and goal.
Yeah, they scored.
I actually thought they scored too quick there.
Yeah, they scored, and they're also, on that same drive, they had a 4th-and-3 where the receiver fell down.
Yes, and caught the ball.
Talk about the bad luck there, because if he doesn't catch that ball with 5 minutes left, the Hokies take over at midfield,
right?
To possibly kind of just run it out, or you know, kick another field goal to extend the lead. And it was one of those losses where it kind of changes your season.
Yeah, yeah, season defining kind of.
It really
loss.
Is, because if you beat them, you know, you beat a top 10 team
on the road,
your first win in conference, it kind of changes the way your season can go. And they were despondent. That you could see it on their faces. It was awful.
Well, yeah, because they almost knocked off a big boy.
Correct.
And, so like, that was huge.
I don't understand. During a 5-10 minute review, what was clear and obvious in that replay that gave them enough to overturn it? Impossible job to be a referee. I don't know how you make that call on the field. And be sure of it.
I'll say Either this. Way. I'll say this.
Well, that's
you,
why.
I'll say I this. Don't understand I sent a, how you overturn it.
I'll say this. I sent right. a text to my brother right at the time, and I was like, "Isn't he out of bounds if the guy he lands on's out of bounds?" That was before it went to replay. That was my initial reaction. I was like, "He's out of bounds."
The guy out of bounds also can't knock the ball out of the guy when he lands out of bounds, mm-hmm. and he can't strip the ball.
Right, but the play's already done because he's out of bounds.
He had possession before that. That being said,
it looked like he had possession.
It was called a touchdown on the field.
I don't know how you can overturn it.
I'm sorry, the refs were looking to overturn it. They went under the booth or whoever's upstairs or back in New York, wherever they go. The person watching it is looking to overturn it. They had
conspiracy theory.
It's not a conspiracy. They just had a preconceived notion in their head, and they're looking for stuff to validate what's in their head. That's the only possible.
Well, they shouldn't have, because there wasn't clear evidence that it wasn't.
It's the
a catch.
Only possible explanation is that if you're looking for something, you're going to end up finding it if you look hard. If you convince yourself and you look hard enough, and that's what happened.
I don't know how they saw it. I really don't.
But let me ask you this.
But again, it shouldn't have come down to that, Matt. It should not have come down to that play.
Let me ask you this: because you ripped the Virginia Tech offense like nobody else.
Yeah.
Where did that offense come from?
I don't know. That's what we've been waiting for 5 weeks.
Friday night, they had a legit offense.
They took advantage of it in the first half.
Does it take the pressure off Pry, even though they didn't pull it off?
What do you mean the pressure off?
Well, I mean, I know you were saying that, you know, they don't get to
people aren't happy down there.
Even with that performance.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to get fired, but, you know, the expectations for this team preseason were 8-9 wins, try and contend for a conference. Now they're 2-3 and 0-1 in the conference. They got some tough outs to go. They still got to play Clemson and Boston College and got to go to Stanford next week, which won't be easy.
That's tough travel.
So this was one of those, like I said, it's like one of those season-defining games that if it goes your way, man, now you're looking pretty good.
I'm guessing that would have been the biggest win in the Pry era. Like I can't think of one that's bigger.
But he's getting questioned for that fake field goal call, 100%.
With the Terps, they lost at Indiana. Indiana's got the JMU coach, right?
Cignetti.
And they're undefeated.
Yeah, Indiana's actually legit.
They got a good defense.
They're favored by 7 heading into the game. They win by 14.
The Terps couldn't take advantage of 4 turnovers by Indiana. 4. Yeah. They punted 7 times. They did a great job against Felton. Felton got banged up late in that game. He was off the field for a while. And, Indiana is good. Well coached. Cignetti brought 13 guys from JMU with him.
Wow.
In the portal. So that was a fun game.
Yeah, and then the game of the weekend was Georgia-Alabama. Alabama had a huge lead early. Georgia storms back. Carson Beck has the ball in his hand to potentially win the game and throws a pick.
Mm-hmm.
They actually ran the same play, I think, back-to-back. Like they liked the matchup there, and he just maybe underthrew it. But that 17-year-old kid from Alabama,
Ryan Williams, the receiver, he's so good.
He's the next Devontae Smith.
Yeah, he is a ridiculous talent.
Yes. What he did on the sideline on that last touchdown where he did kind of a pirouette, stayed in bounds.
His body control and speed is just
ridiculous. Well, also, ridiculous. The improvements Jalen Milroe's made as a quarterback, a throwing quarterback, over the last 3 years. When he first got to Alabama, of course, he's playing behind Bryce Young, but he was just a running quarterback, couldn't really throw the ball, strong arm, but didn't know where he was throwing it. He's become a legit passing threat, Might be the favorite for the Heisman right now after that win because he's a problem. Because he's physical, he can run, and now he can throw, and he's got ridiculous receivers.
And also,
he's become a really good QB.
You don't usually want to be the guy that follows a legend. Like, you don't want to be the guy that steps in right behind Nick Saban. DeBoer's doing pretty well so far.
He's won everywhere he's been.
I actually want to ask CB the psychology. Do you think Saban, who was at the game, do you think deep down he would want Alabama to win the national championship with the new coach? Or deep down, he'd want a little struggle?
I think he probably
every human wants to struggle.
No, he roots for him.
Nick, I think Nick's very comfortable with himself.
He's comfortable.
He's got 7 nats.
Yeah. He's so fed up.
Let him win it. Let him wait a year.
Well, there are his players.
Fed up with the NIL. He just wanted to be free and clear of it. He just didn't want to deal with that nonsense.
I think he's besides for them to lose.
I doubt it.
Deep down.
I think there's a little of that. It's the same reason why you're rooting against Caleb Williams.
It's human nature. I know coaches that have been in situations like that, and they're glad to see their kids do well, but secretly they don't want them to win. I know of this exact scenario.
I think he likes those kids.
At a lower level.
Yeah. Look, he's got his own suite at the stadium at Bryant Denny.
Of course.
He roots for him,
but at the end of the day.
He roots against Kirby Smart. Believe me, there's no chance he wants to lose to Kirby Smart.
Maybe not, but at the end of the day, he doesn't want him to win a national title this year.
I think you're secure when the field's named after you.
Yeah.
Not that he's not secure. Yeah. Not that he's not secure. It's just human nature. You don't want your successor to just right away have instant success.
We can agree to disagree with that. But I couldn't even imagine the atmosphere down there because that looked unbelievable.
Yeah, your buddy went. That was his
first college football game ever.
It's pretty solid.
And how about this? He was in Nick Saban's suite. What? He has pictures of him and Saban in the suite.
What's happening here? First college football game I went to, I was definitely sitting in the bleachers. It was probably 40 degrees outside.
Hey, Jason's friends. They're all rich.
He's not rich. Yeah. His buddy's Landon Collins. That's how I got hooked.
Oh, okay. That's true.
Okay, well, Landon Collins is rich.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never met Landon.
Rich by association.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rich by association. All right, well, Jason mentioned that for the Hokies, that was a tipping point type of game. What about for the Commanders' defense? We'll tackle that next here on a Victory Monday, presented by Chenega Miles, the 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com.